Hello everyone and welcome to the Willow Pod. I'm Sky and today I've got with me Jada from the Elm Foundation.
I work for the Elm Foundation. I'm the service manager for the Derbyshire Domestic Abuse Helpline.
So how did you get into this line of work, working with domestic abuse?
So I initially, well, before I actually started working for the Elm Foundation, I was studying a social work degree. Part of the social work degree was to complete 100-day placements. And one of my placements, which was the final placement, I was allocated a placement with actually the Elm Foundation to work in one of the women's refuges. So after completing my placement, my degree, I kind of just stayed with the organisation. So I've done a bit of everything. So I worked in refuges for over 5 years, and then I've kind of gradually come over to the helpline. I've worked on the helpline front line, and then I've gone into managing the helpline actually. So yeah.
Wow, it sounds like you really enjoy it.
Yeah.
So tell me a bit more about the helpline, sort of like what times it's open, the number of people that you usually have coming through week to week, things like that.
Yeah, so the helpline, it's actually operated 24 hours a day, but Monday to Friday between the hours of 8 a.m. till 10 p.m. there is a domestic abuse helpline worker. They are actually answering the phones. From 10 p.m. onwards, the phone is actually switched over to Call Derbyshire. So the number isn't turned off, it's just switched over to Call Derbyshire. And an out-of-hours worker will answer from Call Derbyshire, they'll answer the phone. So yeah, in terms of the number, it's a free phone number. So the number is 08000 198 668. In terms of the people that we get, it varies day to day. The referrals that we process, we actually monitor all of that.
Do you find then that they spike at different times of year?
We do see a difference. So in terms of school holidays, we do see sometimes that the calls do dip. And then around Christmas, we have seen a spike in calls at New Year. Sometimes when there are some events, such as football events, you'll see a spike. But yeah, generally, especially during the school holidays, we do see a dip, just because maybe families don't want to disrupt school holidays, family time. So yeah, so I've got our figures. So from the 1st of April 2021 all the way till June the 30th of this year, we received in total 1,155 calls to the helpline, just one quarter. So on average, we're receiving just under 400 calls a month.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot. It just shows how much that your organisation really does help people out there. And it's great to know that there is that telephone number that people can just call if they need help. So also, I was wondering, can people just call up and ask if they are experiencing abuse then? So if they're not sure if they are, or if they're just overthinking?
Yeah, so anyone can call our helpline. It can be victims, it can be family, friends, professionals. So even if you think, I don't know whether this is domestic abuse, what's happening within the relationship, I don't know, is this normal, is this not normal, is this behaviour acceptable, you can just ring. You don't need to give your personal details. If you don't want to give your name, your number, your address, you don't need to. You can just talk to us about your relationship, about what's happening within the relationship. You can speak to a specialist worker and they can talk to you about whether actually is that domestic abuse, and talk to you about the different types of domestic abuse, what category of abuse that type of behaviour comes under. So yeah, so they can give you that advice.
So could somebody call up as a friend or like a family member about somebody else, and say if they were to call up and it turns out that that was domestic abuse, could that be raised on behalf of the victim, or would the victim have to come to you themselves?
So in terms of with the family and friends, it is a bit difficult because family and friends can ring us. We would give them the advice, but we would need the consent of the victim. We would need that consent. So we wouldn't be able to contact the victim. The victim would need to consent for us to contact them, but we can actually give advice to the family or friend to pass on to the victim. We can actually encourage them to maybe ring us whilst they're with them, and then pass the phone over and we can speak to them. But we would give out the advice around domestic abuse, safety planning, talk to the family friend about what services may be available, so that all that information can be passed on to the victim.
Yes, well, that's brilliant to hear. So what are your hopes for the future in terms of domestic abuse and trying to improve things and services?
Oh, so in terms of hopes for the future, I think it's about ensuring that there's continuous services. Over the last couple of years, there was a decrease in domestic abuse services. So it's about the continuous funding of domestic abuse services, because they are vital services, such as helplines, such as refuges, outreach support, high-risk support services. And I think also another hope would be continuous awareness raising and understanding of domestic abuse and the impact it can have on victims and their families.
Yes, yeah, definitely. I agree with that, definitely.
Yeah, because sometimes it is a taboo subject. People don't want to talk about domestic abuse, and some people don't actually realise what the impact of domestic abuse is until they're educated around it.
Yes, I found that, because before I came to work on the Willow Project, I just thought that domestic abuse was sort of just the physical aspect. I didn't understand it as much. And likewise, my parents are of the generation where they're blind to it almost. And when I spoke to them about it, they were almost quite shocked that this is something that happens in rural areas as well. So yes, I think it's definitely important to get the message out there to the people who wouldn't realise maybe they're in that situation, or they wouldn't know how to spot that situation. So yeah, I think that's really important. What do you think the government could do to help, or what would you like to see from the government side, if there's anything that you think that they could do at all to help?
I think in terms of the government, a lot of domestic abuse services are commissioned by local authorities. Probably having domestic abuse at the forefront in terms of services that need commissioning, so making sure there is funds available to fund vital domestic abuse services across the UK. Mm-hmm. But I think another one is to improve the effectiveness of the justice system in providing protection for victims of domestic abuse.
Yes.
And also having perpetrators be accountable for their behaviour. So in terms of that, it's having more work around the justice system for me, because you hear all these stories about victims, the abuse they've endured, and a lot of the times you'll hear, we've reported it, but nothing's happened. The police aren't taking it further due to lack of evidence, or it can't go to court because of lack of evidence. So it's about doing more work around the justice system in terms of not just the policing, because we've got excellent examples of where there's been multi-agency working between domestic abuse services and the police. But I think it's the overall justice system.
Yes. So as a helpline, do you ever get people calling who would be the perpetrator?
We have actually had perpetrators ring the helpline, and they are wanting advice about their behaviour. Can they get support to stop the behaviour that they're portraying, the behaviour they're using to abuse their their victim. So what we as a helpline would say, well, actually, this is a really good positive step that you're making. It's the first step in terms of addressing your behaviour. And we would refer them to a specialist helpline. So we'd refer them to the Respect helpline that works with perpetrators of domestic abuse, because that is their forte in terms of working with perpetrators. We're victim focused, but then there are the perpetrators that actually do want some support. It's about making sure there is that service available to perpetrators of domestic abuse. And in Derbyshire, I know they've commissioned a perpetrator programme, but up until just prior to the commissioning of a perpetrator programme, we had to actually again contact the Respect helpline to find information about where the nearest support programme for a perpetrator was. So I definitely think having support, having a programme for perpetrators of domestic abuse is, again, it's a vital service, because it's about teaching, awareness, making them aware about actually what implication their behaviour has upon their victim.
Yes, definitely. I definitely agree on that. So is there anything else that you can think of that you'd like to add at all around the subject of domestic abuse for the podcast today?
So I think if you're worried about your relationship, again, domestic abuse isn't just an intimate relationship, it can be familial abuse as well. So if you're worried, you just want some advice, give us a call. We're here to listen, we're here to provide advice, support. It can be a one-off phone call, so you can ring in as a one-off. You don't need to give us any personal details. If you don't want to disclose your name, where you're calling from, your number, you don't need to. It can just be a confidential one-off call, and then we can talk to you more about what's happening within that relationship, talk to you about whether it is domestic abuse, categorise it for you under what elements of domestic abuse it's coming under. We can talk to you about support services. So in terms of if you would like any support, we can talk to you about what support services there are available across Derbyshire. And if you were wanting that support, we can actually refer you there and then. We can actually do a referral form, do a risk assessment. And when we say about the risk assessment, it's more to determine what risk you are at from the perpetrator, and then we can actually refer you to the appropriate services with your consent.
Well, that's brilliant. Thank you very much for that, Jada, and thank you so much for coming along and talking to us on the Willow Pod today. It's been absolutely brilliant having you on here.
It's no problem. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much, and we hope to speak to you soon.
Thank you.